It's been a full morning already, hasn't it? And it's still got a little more to fill you up with. I can put that right there. You know what it means when a pastor pulls off his watch or these days checks his phone for the time? Absolutely nothing, right? Very good. You guys are good. Thank you. Well, I want to invite you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, however you normally read, to Luke chapter 2 and the story we just saw and heard so amazingly well presented. We want to look at again this morning, and we want to read the scriptures as they tell us exactly what happened. I'm going to begin with verse 4. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called, excuse me, could we ask the kids here, it's just a little distracting there, if we could have them, thank you, that would be helpful if we can just limit this distraction. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, so let me start again. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, or Miriam, as we learned last week, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the inn. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over the flock. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Miriam was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again this morning for this timeless message. There are those of us in this room who've heard it almost 100 times, and yet the story never grows old. And so, Father, we thank you for this story, for the truth that we are able to embrace this morning. And we just ask and pray for increased revelation and understanding of what you're trying to show us, what you're trying to teach us, of how you're trying to lead us, and the purpose and destiny you have for each one of our lives, both individually and collectively as a community of believers. Lord, we glorify and praise your name this morning, and we do that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors." How easy it is for our peace to be disturbed. Any of you had your peace disturbed lately? Yeah. I did something yesterday that I swore I'd never do at this time of the year again after doing it many years ago. and that was go to the mall just a couple days before Christmas. And my wife and I arrived there relatively early, and it actually, there's hardly anybody there, and easy parking. And I said, this is great. Wow, you know, why was I so concerned? What did I fear? Well, by about 12, 1 o'clock, it was packed. And we went into one store, and I just got so claustrophobic with the people and all the stuff. I just said, Linda, I got to get out of here. I had to walk out. And finally, she said to me, just pretend we're the only two people here in the mall. I tried it, you know, but
how'd
that work? Yeah, really. Yeah, that's right. So it's of course, that's a very simplistic way in which our peace can be disturbed. It can be disturbed in major ways. We could be disturbed by sickness. It could be disturbed by loss of job. It can be disturbed by family problems. There's so many ways in which our peace can be and has been and will be disturbed. Do you know that in the past 3,000 years of recorded history, the world has only been at peace less than 10% of the time? So that's less than a total of 300 years over the last 3,000 years that there has been peace on the earth. No war, no conflict. I can remember back, and some of you may, during the 80s, during the Reagan administration, when we as a nation were at relative peace. We'd gotten, the Vietnam War was over, and there didn't seem to be any conflicts on the horizon. There were a few minor skirmishes during his administration, and I'm not trying to politicize anything here. I'm not saying that was all credit due to him or whatever, but as the 90s emerged, and I thought, wow, this is great. What happened next? The Gulf War, yeah, and things have been less than peaceful ever since. That's just for our own country. That's not talking about all the other nations in the world. But yet, I want you to consider with me this morning that the biblical peace isn't merely the absence of conflict. It's about wholeness, stability, and things made right. The story of Christmas promises that kind of peace. That peace is found in one person, and that person has a name. His name is Jesus. Isaiah, the prophet, many years before, said this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," the what?
Prince
of Peace. Yes, thank you, Nick. The Prince of Peace. And I want you to consider with me this morning that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, brings us three things. He brought peace at his birth, he taught peace with his life, and he bought peace with his death. In Luke, when we read this account, the words first came to whom? We saw that in the play very vividly. To shepherds, right? Where's John, our shepherd? Is he in the room still? John, Alex in here this morning. Oh, there he is. Hey, John. Glad to have the shepherds with us today. He got saved, yeah. Well, that's a good point, because do you know that shepherds were despised people? Do you know that? They, in fact, because of the type of work they did, the nature of their calling, they could not keep the ceremonial laws. They had a bad reputation among the Jewish people. They were considered unclean. They were considered unreliable. And they were not even allowed to give testimony in court. How about that? And isn't that amazing that the very first people to whom the angels came and made the proclamation were men who were shepherds? Yeah. Because you see, the Prince of Peace brought peace at his birth. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, also taught peace with his life. In John 14:27, we read these words. Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then in John chapter 16 and verse 33, we read, I have told you these things, this is Jesus speaking again, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble. I hate to tell you that. The good news is Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. You know, it reminds me, whenever I'm reading these words, they remind me of a time when I was flying with the Navy and we were over in the Mediterranean Sea and we were flying. We had to literally fly through a cyclone and the plane was being rocked back and forth, and it was if you think you've been in turbulence before, this was pretty good turbulence. And in the middle of the cyclone, it was at night, we were flying at night, and in the middle, you could see all these ships, you could see them by their lights, all huddled together in the calm of the eye of the storm. Unfortunately, we had to fly back through the cyclone to get out again, and actually our aircraft was struck by lightning as we passed through, and a fireball went right down the middle of the airplane. It was something to tell stories about. That explains it. Somebody just said that explains some things. Somebody said that explains some things. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. It was electrifying, I have to tell you. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. But that's an illustration of the kind of supernatural peace that God gives us, isn't it? I mean, conflict can be going all around us. And how many of you have had people say to you, family members, coworkers, whatever, wow, how come you're so peaceful? You know, what's going on? I remember years ago, quite a few years ago now, our congregation, you know, we're not tied into any denomination or anything, right? So we can do whatever we want to do. That's kind of like the good news, bad news thing, you know? So we decided not to meet on Sunday morning, but to meet on Saturday night. We thought, hey, we can do whatever we want to do. So let's meet on Saturday night instead of Sunday morning. So we did that for a season. So it was actually this time of year. It was Christmas. We were meeting on Saturday night. We had our service. And my mother was visiting with us, so I went out and got the car and brought it up to the curb and left it running. This is in Columbia, and left the engine running, let the car warm up while I went in to get my mom and Linda and our children, who were pretty young then. And so we come out, and car's gone. Yeah, some young men had seen, wow, look at this car. Keys are in it, door's open, car's running, pff, took off. So we came home, and, you know, I called the police and did all the stuff you do. And so we come home, and my mom goes, I said, hey, I used to enjoy this TV show, Columbo. I said, let's watch Columbo. Mom goes, what? Aren't you upset? Aren't you nervous? I said, Mom, the Lord gave me that car. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If he wants me to have it back, he'll bring it back to me. And God did. I got the car back. But but that's the kind of peace God gives you, right? Supernatural peace in the midst of circumstances when other people are going, why are you at peace? What's wrong with you? You see, it's not the kind of peace that the world seeks. It's what I call the divine antithesis. The man or woman who is justified by faith has peace with God, even though he or she will have tribulation in this world. The man or woman who has not yet made peace with God may have a measure of peace in this world. However, he or she will be in anguish and have tribulation with God until they find that peace. Divine antithesis. So Jesus brought peace at his birth. He taught peace with his life, and he bought peace with his death. Colossians 1, verses 19 through 20 say, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," speaking of Jesus, "and through him," through Jesus, "to reconcile everything to himself by making peace," how? "Through the blood of the cross," through the blood of his cross. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he made peace for us with God. We now can have peace with God. He bought it with his death. Now, I want to just see three things about that. First of all is that he made peace with us, even as we just read there in Colossians. He made peace for us, and he made peace through us. Makes peace through us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, he made peace for us. Amen. We can be at peace with God the Father because of what Jesus did for each one of us, for you and for me. Isn't that great news? Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no better news in the world today, even as we heard on the news report. And lastly, God wants to make peace through us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are whom? The peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall become the sons of God. Peace rules the day when Christ rules your mind. Peace rules the day when Christ rules your mind. In Romans chapter 12, verses 15 through 18, the scripture reads, Paul is writing, he says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud, instead associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible on your part, live at peace with everyone." If possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. You see, God wants us to be peacemakers. And doesn't he give us a lot of opportunities? He gives us opportunities in our homes, in our own families. He gives us opportunities in our marriages. He gives us opportunities in our neighborhoods. He gives us opportunities at our work or at our school. How many times do we face potentially conflicting situations where we have a choice? We can be a peacemaker, or we can add to the problem. Is that true? We all have that choice many times, don't we? And so the Lord has called you and me, men and women who follow him, to be peacemakers, to be the ones who make peace when we can, as Paul writes, even whenever you can. Sometimes we're not able to do that. Sometimes we're not in a position to do that. But when we are, to be the ones who make peace. How many of you enjoy receiving? Well, actually, how many of you enjoy gifts at Christmas? Some of us enjoy giving more than receiving, huh? Yeah, and I get that. Yeah, I love to give gifts, especially surprise ones that people aren't expecting to get, and fun ones too. And but when we think of Christmas and the Christmas message, it's like unwrapping a gift. When you unwrap the story of Christmas, you receive the promises of Christmas: forgiveness from sins, release from shame and guilt, peace with God, and everlasting life. Over a century ago, a man lived named Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Some think he was the greatest American poet that ever lived. And Longfellow, this is the story begins in 1861. Longfellow, that summer, lost his wife. They believe she was actually drizzling wax to seal an envelope in which she had placed a sprig of her daughter's hair. And the window was open. It was a warm summer day. And somehow the breeze ignited the fire and her dress was in flames. Clothing in that day was not made of fire-retardant material. I'm sure it was possibly 100% cotton. Who knows? But she screamed. Her husband came out, tried to put out the fire, tried to save her. He was unable to do so. In fact, many of you who know this man are familiar with him and his writings. Most of us are familiar with his picture with that beard. He had to grow the beard because of the scars on his face from the burning of his wife. He was in such pain, not physical but emotional pain, he couldn't go to her funeral. 2 years later, 1863, his son went off and joined the Union Army to fight in the Civil War. Didn't ask his dad's permission, didn't ask for his blessing. He just said, I'm going to go do it. And he was badly injured in one of the battles. Was not mortally injured, but very, very serious. Today we'd probably say he was in critical condition. And he came home, his dad was nursing him back to health. Christmas Day, 1863, Longfellow's thinking, where is the peace? Where is the peace? And then he heard the Christmas bells. And he wrote these words, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet, the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. There's more to that poem, which was later made into a song. And then I'm going to share that song with you in a minute. And the scene in which the people who have created this video chose to use is an event that happened about 100 years ago during what we know today as World War I. Then it was called the Great War. That war was so big that people said there'll never, ever be another war in the world like this one. And you'll see a moment during that time where there was peace on earth.
On Christmas Eve, 1914, temperatures drop below freezing on the Western Front. In some places, it began snowing, obscuring the moon. Then all across the German lines, lights began to appear. At first, the British thought the Germans were preparing to attack. But instead of rifle fire, sounds of singing drifted across no man's land.
The Germans would be heard singing, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. The British would respond with a British Christmas carol. In some places, food was lobbed over into the opposing trenches. In one or two instances, the Germans erected Christmas trees. And there was a kind of mutual curiosity, certainly instances of soldiers applauding each other's singing.
Bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat. prince on earth could will to man. And the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them, peace on earth. In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the chime, a chant sublime with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells they're ringing like a choir they're singing. And with our hearts we'll hear them.
Father, we thank you that through the birth of your Son, our Savior, into this world, that peace came into the earth, peace personified in the person of Jesus. We thank you that he not only brought peace to this earth, but he taught us, he showed us, he imparted to us peace and how to live at peace. Lord, help us to bring peace to this world, to be the peacemakers that you've called us to be as men and women in Christ. Lord, as we are on the doorstep of a new year, 2018, I pray that this would be even more true for us as a community of believers than it's been in the past years, Lord. That people would not only know us as a community of love, but as a community of peace. People who know your peace, share your peace, and bring your peace. Father, we thank you. And God, we thank you in the mighty name of that one whom we all love, the name of Jesus. Amen.